Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Video game. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Cause they giving you the latest on everything on your playlist. This bet the safest from basements to greatness. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ram. Might think you fly, but ain't nice as my guys. Got eyes on the prize. So like and subscribe. We back in the booth. I think that they gon' eat this up. The ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain. We have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent, Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. It is that time of year. It's getting down to the wire. We're almost done with one of the worst years in recent history. 2020 is almost a dead and gone memory, and we're going to head on to, I'm going to call it right now, the perfect year. 2021, the year that nothing goes wrong, baby.
Yep. And give it the cyberpunk treatment. Give it.
Yep.
It's going to be the savior.
Yeah, no way. No way. Let's pray to God. If you thought 2020 was bad, if 2021 ends up like cyberpunk, that's a whole new can of worms, and we're gonna get there. We got so much news to talk about. Twitch implemented a bunch of new no-no words, but we stream the show on Twitch. We're gonna have to use them, so maybe under journalistic integrity we can get a pass this week. I don't know, I'll talk to Twitch, we'll see what happens. And then we got there's a lot, but starting with the panel we're talking with here today, the OGs are back. What is going on, Skip? How you doing, man? How was your week? I feel like I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, there was a reason for that. I won't actually say it on stream, but let's just say I'm doing a lot better now, feeling nice. A lot better now. Happy to be back with everyone to talk about some video game culture, nerd culture news. I'm excited to be here, excited to represent Sacktown.
Are you feeling good, better, or worse now that the Kings are playing again? The Kangs are doing their preseason. They've had some mixed results I've seen from social media. Are you optimistic about the team this year? Are we going the distance?
No, we ain't going nowhere. It's going to be bad. It's one of those years that you kind of want it to be bad. Because supposedly, allegedly, there's a lot of good talent in next year's draft. So we're poised to do that. We're at a point right now where we're trying to let all the current superstars age out, because we got a stable of princes that will grow into kings one day, and we want them to be big and strong when the mighty fall.
That's when
we take over.
There you go. That's why I said 2021 is going to be the perfect year. The Kings are going to have the number one draft pick next year. They're going to get the next LeBron sealed. I just guaranteed it right now on this week's show. Also joining us on the show, she's been a workaholic. I think this is actually going to turn into one of those, what is that called when you have a drug problem and your friends really ensnare you?
Intervention. Intervention.
This is an intervention, actually. This isn't a podcast. Sorry, Lexi. You've been working way too much. You're working way too hard. It's affecting your cheery person. No, I'm just kidding. How you been, Lexi? I know you've been, the holidays have been tough for you, right?
Yeah, I've been working hard. I appreciate that. But no matter what, at the end of the day, you guys make me smile, and so does all our fans and everyone. So I appreciate it. But yeah, it's been tough. But, you know, I try to keep my spirits up and the positivity. Even on the hardest of days, I know, like, there's a little peephole of light, so just keep going that way. So, yeah, I tell everyone, like, just keep going no matter what, even when you're down. I mean, and it's okay to be down. It's okay to cry. It's okay to, like, have those moments and hug people and, you know, just let it out. So I don't think a lot of people, like, realize, or they realize it, but they're scared to do it. So it's okay. I've cried so many times. I've like, you need to get it out. You need to just scream or do something, and then you'll be all right. And then you have friends and people around you that care about you and family. And so it's okay. I know that's like a mental health, like,
I know, way to start the show. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Mental health kick, but
I would like,
I mean,
to throw one little, one little tag at the end of that. VGB does not condone hugging in 2020. So, I mean, I know she may have said
only of
people.
Those who you are sharing your dwelling with.
Don't. Well, fist bump or something, like, you know, God or bow or something.
That's,
I don't know.
Hugging is how you get the Rona. But other than that, do virtual hugs. And I know he was doing a lot of crying this week because he has not taken off that Mandalorian t-shirt since he was on the show last week. In anticipation for the finale. The finale blew the doors down. It was an emotional roller coaster of happiness and tears and oh shit moments. Kyle, now I know you are a huge Mandalorian fan. Talk to me about this finale, brother.
I watched it the first time and didn't cry, and then I cried the second time when I watched it with my wife. I don't know why. Maybe it's like the proximity of like of more emotionally up there. I don't know, but like it was, I think, probably still, in my opinion, the second best episode. I feel like the Jedi was much better.
Yeah.
Not much better, slightly better, just in terms of the aesthetic, and the story was a little bit more like self-contained, but it is still was a phenomenal way to end the season. I had, like, after that was over, I'm like, okay, now what do I do?
The credits to any Mandalorian fans there. They pulled a Marvel thing, and there is a really, really crazy...
That's such a good scene. It's just such a good, like, it sets exactly the tone for what comes after. So I'm not going to say what it is. Just wait till after the credits. It's really well done. Super hype. But nothing is happening for the next at least months and months and months. So you're just... waiting, just hanging out.
Well, that's what's crazy is that now you can tell the difference between season one was insane and everybody loved it, and it was a little viral sensation. And then, you know, when you have that season two, it could either get a full of itself. Like, when is the second of anything better than the first?
Like, it's like the sophomore album syndrome for any band. It's like, okay, your first album can be anything, but like the second album, like if it's good, if you're that's what makes you know, from a one-hit wonder to like a good artist or whatever.
They changed
I think
they changed the game. You can definitely see the brass over there looked at what they did in Mandalorian and said, that's the ticket, that's what we do more of. And
do now that. Do all of that.
And now it'll probably be that great for 2021 because it's going to be the best year of all time. But then maybe when we hit 2022, we're going to be a little sick of it. So hopefully we'll see. Hopefully they don't get in this repetitiveness and they can continue to bring new stories, because more and more they're incorporating the old stories into this new hot franchise to kind of give them new life, which is cool. I'm fine. But just keep giving us new content, the new stuff. We're not going to spoil anything because the episode like literally just came out a day ago. Lexi still hasn't even seen it. So we're not going to go full spoiler mode this week, but next week there will be spoilers. We're going to be talking about Mandalorian stuff because I got to get into the nitty gritty.
We got to get the full breakdown, grand episode.
Yes. Speaking of full breakdown, full episodes, let's start off with Cyberpunk 2077 because it's been the marquee issue topic of this show the last few weeks, probably the last year. It was kind of the thing that we were all saying, 2020 sucks, but whew, Cyberpunk is coming, baby. They delayed it 3 times. There's no way it's gonna be bad. Let's do this. And womp womp, it came out and it was worse than anybody expected for a lot of different reasons. But now I have quite a few hours of the game under my belt, not nearly as many as Kyle, which I'm happy to hear more from his perspective, and maybe he could defend some of the points that I take issue with. But let's get going, because the big news story this week was that PlayStation actually is going to just do like blanket refunds for people who purchased Cyberpunk 2020, whatever. So what exactly is going down? Skip, I know you were a little more aware of the details of this story, but is this for everybody, just PS4 users? Can PS5 people get a refund? How are they regulating this?
It seems to be primarily for PS4 users, but it is the Sony store. So, and I know they were mostly focusing on people that were on current gen. So I'm not entirely sure if it does come over to PS5 people, we could double check that. But yeah, I mean, and it's something that Sony kind of ended up doing on their own. They weren't prompted by CD Projekt Red to do it. Everybody had a lot of questions on if they even consulted them, which, you know, really kind of makes it even bigger of a deal, you know, if they didn't, you know. And for anybody that's ever tried to return anything in the Sony store, they have some of the most stringent like return policies there is. I think, if I'm not mistaken, if you even like if you prepay for the game or if you purchase the game and you download it, like you, they won't even give you a refund after that.
Damn.
Or like even Nintendo, as stingy as they are, like I've downloaded a few games and hit up customer service and no problem. You know, I was within 48 hours. They just like refunded it right back to me. No problem at all. So it really, really, really puts a highlight on how seriously Sony has taken, you know, this, you know, the satisfaction of their customers. And, you know, from their perspective, too, you have to like take this into account. This kind of makes their hardware look bad in a way that's not their fault.
Yeah.
You know, we know that, you know, everybody is experiencing some bugs. We know PC users are experiencing less. We know current gen is experiencing even less because it's especially because of the architecture and the hardware and everything. But if you're current gen, even from PS4 Pro all the way down, same thing on the Xbox side, many people are having issues. Not everyone, and not everybody's having the same ones, but it's notable enough. We've all seen the things on Twitter. We've seen clips on YouTube. I've seen literally whole compilations. I think I just watched one earlier this morning. It was like 15 minutes of random Cyberpunk 2077 bugs. So once you take all those things into account and then you come back to Sony and they are pulling it from the store, which is another huge deal. You can't buy it on there anymore. You try to search up a link, you know, and click on the link to go to it. It's not there. And then they're refunding everyone for it. This is a really big deal. This is, I mean, I don't even think for, what the heck, what was that game that came out earlier this year? And it was just like, it was a horrible launch.
It The Crucible or is that a different one? Because that was,
The Crucible. It was more high profile than that. It was a game that Corey really likes.
Was it?
Anyway, yeah.
I might have blocked it out of my mind. I blocked a lot from this. There's year a lot of, out of my mind.
A lot of packing.
Wasn't even Anthem. I'll look it up again. But this is easily is turning or has turned into the. It's gone from the height of being the most promising. Fallout 76.
Oh,
thank you, Lex.
Fallout. Yeah.
This is worse than that. That's
way worse. That
the first thing that I thought of when you said that, I was like, which game? Oh, tanked Fallout 76. That was the first thing that came to mind.
They were able to kind of correct the ship a little bit from what I hear. I don't know. I it's hard for me to go back to a game that's done that. The last time I had an experience like this, and it wasn't even that bad, was Assassin's Creed, the one where you all get to team up. I can't remember which one it was.
Brotherhood?
No, I don't think it was. No, it was
that was
it was a big multiplayer one.
I heard Unity was really Unity. Had some issues.
Unity. That was the one. The one where bases were melting off and stuff. I played the game, got stuck within the first 10 minutes in a desk I was trying to jump over, and I just literally turned it off and never turned it on again.
That'll do it.
I stuck.
Hey, but even with that, they weren't sending out moldy toxic helmets to people like Fallout was. I think we might have even forgotten that. All those people that paid that money for the extra special collector's edition that had the helmets in there, and then they received them and they had to recall the helmets.
Man, it's I didn't always know that. This is marketing worse team.
Than that.
Poor devs, man. Devs are the real heroes of all the video game industry, and then they just get corrupted and shat on and stomped into the ground. By the marketing people, by the
those damn by marketing the suits. PR.
It's the suits, man. How do we get the suits out of the industry?
Damn. What's wild is that with CDPR, they are their own publisher. Like, they literally had no, like, with, I think, Assassin's Creed, they were, like, being pressured to release it by Ubisoft. So, like, they're like, okay, you have to do it now. Like, you have that publisher pressure. But, like, they didn't, they literally, like, from what I understand from all the interviews, they had, like, essentially a blank check. You have to, like, have infinite money and infinite time, make whatever you have, and it's still, like, that's the wildest part about that. Like, the going back, like, okay, we're not going to release it till it's ready. We're not going to release it till it's ready.
Well, here's the thing. Like, in February or March, they were like, hey, the game's done, baby. We're done. We're in the final little bug test, so just hang out for a little bit longer, everybody. We're going to get just because we want it to be perfect for you guys. No fucking way. That was bullshit. Like, imagine what this game was like 8 months ago. It must have been unplayable disaster. The whole thing feels like a con now. And to me, I give people the benefit of the doubt. And from all the quotes that were coming from this same guy who said, you know, pretty much the mouthpiece for the team, that was saying, you know, about the game needing more time and all that, and how we're not trying to do crunch and all this kind of stuff. It's only been lip service. Everything that he said has just been a straight up lie. I wanted to believe him and I believed it was true. But then when you see what's actually happening and the fallout of this, like, it's kind of sucky. And I almost on principle wanted to go for the refund for PlayStation because, like, I just kind of feel like I don't want to support this game. And maybe even if the game had good messaging or a great story, but I'm maybe 10, 12 hours deep into this thing, and it's not even that great. I kind of feel like the whole thing was a sham. Now, you, like I said, have much more time than it in me, but let me give my first just kind of two-sentence breakdown of what I think of this game. I feel like this game is The Witcher, kind of, because it's the same developer, same-ish, you know, vibe, but then mixed with Saints Row, but without the self-awareness. So Saints Row was so over the top, it had porn stars on it, and it's, you have a dildo sword, like, all these crazy shit. And they're like, we know it's stupid, you know? Let's all play in this real stupid thing. This game takes itself so seriously, and it's so edgelordy that it's just a turnoff. Like, maybe if I was 13, I would have felt like, ooh, look at that. There's boobies in the game, or, you know, look at the little dildos. But no, it's like, I got a kid now. Like, hit me in the face with good gameplay and an awesome story and you know, mechanics that work. And I didn't get none of that. I just get this edgelord, wannabe, over-the-top thing that doesn't really know it's over-the-top. It just feels disingenuous, top to bottom. But Kyle, you have so much time in this game. What keeps you coming back to it?
So I think for me, the first part is, like, I wanted to give it enough of a go through. Like, I now have officially gotten my money's worth. I've officially played 60 hours. That's, like, my kind of rule with games is I will pay what I need to make sure I play in hours, however much I paid. So I got my 60 hours. I feel like, okay, I have a good understanding. I'm doing a second playthrough just to kind of, you know, like, rewatching a movie again to kind of, like, get a deeper understanding of it and kind of see past the initial luster.
Yeah.
I think, but, like, starting off, like, I would hate to be a dev on this, dude, because I think one of the things is that there are definitely things this game does well, and it's so drastically overshadowed by the terrible amounts of reviews and feedback, and the bad so much outweighs the good on this that it just feels like these people wasted their time.
What do you think was good? What are the best parts?
I think visually, this is one of the best looking games I've ever seen ever
on PC.
I think right. On PC. Yes. Yeah. And that's the other thing is, like, it's a lot of the issues run from it trying to work on three different types of platforms of three different eras and stuff. And it's just, that's a nightmare. And we talked about that last week. Like, visually and sonically, I think this is one of the best games ever. I think the soundtrack, the music, the original OST, as well as the licensed music that they, like, that's such a new thing, I think, as well, as they, like, went out to artists and, like, okay, we want you to write music for this game in this world. And so you've got rappers rapping about Night City and, like, those certain things, which I think is so
immersive,
fascinating and immersive. Yeah. I think that's one of the best things is the world is immersive. They did an incredible job of, like, the aesthetic of it, and the, I don't think any game has done a good enough job to feel as lively and like when you're walking around and there's just tons of people and they're all having those own conversations, that like it is the next evolution of what like GTA 5 did.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things I was surprised off of, like, the prologue is like 4 hours, and I think within like 30, I think if I beelined it, I probably could have finished the whole main quest line in like 20 hours, which I think is, that's a weird thing, because like The Last of Us, it's so much more linear, but that's way longer. Like I have at least 20, 30 hours, and I feel like I've barely scratched the surface in that game. And so it feels like it's too wide, not long enough. Like it's, there's so many different options and routes you can go, but if you just like go straight through, it's just, I don't know, there was like 4 or 5 main missions. I'm like, that it? Like, was there more planned? Is there different ways to expand upon that?
You think they'll have an expansion pack type, not, you know, like storyline DLC?
I would like, type. Yeah, I would like ways to kind of continue the story. I think one of the weird things, and I'm hoping that this isn't overly spoilery, but like once there's a final point of no return and there's nothing after that, it kind of terminates at the end of the endings. You can't go after you're done with that and like just go dick around or whatever, go do all the side quests. You have to like go back to before that point of no return and do all the other side questy stuff, which is weird for me. And if you're going to invest so heavily into a deeply immersive world where I can go do everything, that just feels backwards. It just feels like I hate, like, I never reload saves. And it feels like I was doing that, like save scumming my own game because they made me do that because I wanted to keep playing the game. And like, obviously there's a trillion bugs and that's a thing that's got to suck. And that's, I know that every developer, you know, who's part of that knows of every single one of those bugs plus more. Like, I don't think any of these are like surprises to them. I don't think. And so like that must just be awful. And I think there was a report I read recently of like what it was like when the leadership at CDPR did like a talk to people of like, you know, here's what we thought, here's how this went. And like some employees were like, how did we spend 7 years making a game about evil corporations to kind of feel like we just got shafted by like an evil corporation? I'm like, and that is from the dev Damn. Team. And it's like, dude, that's gotta be off. Cause like you can see and feel the love. Like they have so much incredible technology in this of like,
and then the fucking suits were like, not enough dildos.
Literally, bro. Like they have technology where you can do it. It detects the language and the audio, so the lip syncing matches every different language. Jeez. And like I talked about how there's like almost no loading, any load screens anywhere. And it runs at like 60 plus FPS on like a middle of the road PC with ray tracing ultra. Like it's, there's so many amazing things about this game, but it's all just being completely overshadowed by like, I think the story was kind of weak, like you mentioned, and it just needed 2 more years, it seems like, of like polish and bug fixing. Like this game would have been just, it's just the weirdest. Like what did it take? Where was this game in March? Was it a trash fire, or did they add a bunch of crap on at the last minute to try to extend it? And that was what screwed it. I don't know, but
yeah, I think overall the shell of an incredible franchise is there, but just somewhere in the execution, this whole thing just got muddled and lost. And it, I don't know if it's going to, maybe it'll end up like, No Man's Sky is the hope.
I hope it is, dude.
Maybe next year,
much better.
Or, you know, 8 months later, we'll have an updated story like, oh, big 100 gig patch, and it's a whole brand new game, and they're giving it away for, you know, a free update or something like that. Like, knowing CD Projekt Red's, like, so far their history, I was saying, you know, the lip service thing, but when it comes to other stuff like DLC, they have had a good track record of not just gouging everybody. And, you know, who knows how much of that now is out of the good of their heart and how much of it is because, you know, imagine if they didn't type of thing. You know, maybe it was just saving themselves now when you look at it, how bad it performed on the PS4. Like, no one would want to buy that again on the PS5. Yeah. As far as the bugs and glitches go for the PS5 perspective, I've been playing for about 12 hours, and I think I've witnessed glitches, obviously, like some dude just T-posing in the middle of a room, in the middle of a firefight, which I'm okay with that, but I've had about five random, just your game unexpectedly crashes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I have to go like all the way to the back to the last check.
5 to 10 full crash to desktops, which... that's the worst part.
That's the worst thing. Like, I can handle, like, I've seen some of the funny glitches where a dude punches a dude in a wheelchair and he stands up and runs away. Like, that stuff's funny to me. But then when you get to the ones where it's just crashing in the middle of a scene, and you got to go back and screw up your immersion and do it the same thing you just did over and over again. It's pretty frustrating. I don't know. I think this game doesn't know who it appeals to. I think, you know, it was supposed to go to the new, younger crowd, probably more liberal, and be more of a like a game everyone could get behind with, you know, diverse characters. You know, I thought it was going to be more of like one of those types of games that, you know, has a message, you know, that we could learn from. And but it just ended up being like a Saints Row wannabe kind of thing, edgy, that has no like heart to it. I didn't feel like there was a heart to this thing like there is in Witcher and some of the bigger franchises and games out there. But we'll see where this one goes. I don't want to spend too much more time on it because I'm sure every podcast is probably hammering this thing into the ground too. I wanted to go to a follow-up story based off of last week, though, because towards the end, we ended with a story about the 8-year-old kid who allegedly had his account banned when he was trying to win the Phase 5 contest. And while I didn't on the show say it was fake or phony, I did feel like that video was very dramatic. When I mentioned it to you guys, how the mother runs in and he buries his head in this, it seemed very dramatized. Well, it turns out it was a fake after all. And a video came out on YouTube like 8 hours or less after we recorded the show, talking about, you know, basically a full rundown top to bottom of the parents behind the scenes, saying, "Rogan, do you know what a viral video is? No? Viral, just like your heroes on FaZe Clan that go viral all the time." And they crafted this story on how they were going to fake that he was a thing. And they showed, you know, all the practice. And it was basically they were live on Twitch. They did a break and then played a video that they falsified and passed it off as live. And then after, that's why the mom comes in and says, "Shut down the stream." And they end the stream. And then they put the clip up. And I mean, at the time, we had our questions about whether this should be something an 8-year-old's doing. Was the ban legit? Activision doing the right thing or not? Now we got a whole nother can of worms here when the whole thing was a fake. And I couldn't make heads or tails of it. I understand the hustle. Like, they want what's best for the themselves, maybe. Because there's a lot of money on the line here. They're getting tons. You know, they have hundreds of thousands of viewers and subscribers and shit. But this doesn't feel like the way to do
it.
Yeah, this doesn't feel like the way. Skip, you're usually my moral compass. You're a father. What do you think of this when you originally and then now knowing it's fake? I would just like to hear the Skip and Tosh breakdown.
I don't think it's a good thing. I don't put hustle above honesty, especially when the people that are doing it, you know, understand the ramifications. Beyond that, even have a target of what they're trying to do. You know, for most other things, we would consider that fraud, you know, which is actually illegal. So on my side, I don't think it's cool. You know, what kind of lesson does it teach the kid? You know, you can manipulate the masses to get your way. You know, I ain't trying to get political on here, but I think there's a person that already does that. That we already know about and that we don't really rock with for the most part, not everybody. And that's cool, you know, but, you know, from what I'm saying, you know, I don't think that's anything to teach kids. I don't think that's a way to conduct yourself as adults. You know, on the flip side, if it was purely for entertainment, we do have to, you know, times and things and illusionists and, you know, and stunt actors and people that do things like that. But they're a lot more clear on what it is that they're trying to accomplish. And it's a lot more altruistic. This was very manipulative. So, in my personal opinion, you know, I'm not upset about it up in arms. But, you know, if I were to analyze it like Mr. Two Time asked me to, you know, that would be my analysis.
What was interesting is the mother does, like, at the very end of the video. What bothered me about the video, first of all, because the whole thing was phony, but then there was a lot of phony aspects to their unveiling video to me, like when they sit him down and explain in another kind of scripted thing between mom and son about, like, this is what viral is. How do you think we should go viral? And then the kid says, banned. And they're like, oh, you mean we should pretend you got banned just like you know? And they, even in the video kind of, you know, pulling back the curtain, they made it seem like the kid came up with the idea to get banned, which...
That really helps their narrative, doesn't it? Like, it's like, oh, it's the kid's idea. We're just supporting our son. Like,
no, you're the freaking parent.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Yeah.
Are you the adult or is your child adulting you? Like,
yeah.
Honestly, like, I agree with Skip about the whole thing. Like, it's just stupid to me. Like, yeah, your creator, there's people out there that are creators and they do like funny, you know, skits and like what is it called? I can't think of the word.
Like pranks,
they do skits
and stuff.
Pranks and stuff. Thank you. Yeah, my mind right now. Yeah, there's people that do that and it's all fun and games and we love them and love their pranks and all that stuff. But again, it's like Skip said, it's like specifically, like we know where they're going with it. It isn't something like this where you have a total fan base that trusts you. And I know he's like up and coming. So it's like, you want your fans to trust you again. Like yeah. You come on screen again and it's like, oh, we trust you. Gun ho, like, you know, like, no, we're not going to trust you because you lied to us the first time. Like, I could understand if it was like some silly little joke, like, oh, we didn't give Timmy his ice cream today. And he like does like this whole tantrum or something, you know, like that kind of stuff is silly. But like, this is real. And people like grind to be on Twitch. People grind to be on YouTube. People grind to be like everywhere in life. Like, and for you to play with something that people are actually grinding to is what I think gets me and other people too, because it's like, yeah, I want that kid to succeed. I want any kid to succeed. I want any adult to succeed. But you don't play with a kid like that because now he's going to grow up thinking like, that's okay because
yeah.
Mom and dad said it's okay. And my other streamer people are doing it, but he doesn't understand that something might have happened to why they got banned or something might have happened to why they went viral. It wasn't like, let me plan out this thing to get banned for like how they did.
It's not totally like victimless. Like if you're going to do, I'm all for the theatrics and staging things and the Andy Kaufman fan in me, you know, like there's people out there who do amazing jobs, Nathan Fielders and Sacha Baron Cohen. Like, you know, there's a way to use that kind of, you know, that medium, but this was just a straight kind of attention grab, and it really, you know, was fucked up to do to, you know, Activision, you know, the developer and publisher of this game that's made your son's career, you know, your child's career what it is. And they already catch such a bad rap on everything that they do incorrectly, and then to stage this, I'm surprised they didn't put out a statement earlier of like,
oh yeah,
we have no idea what was going on. Or
can't imagine how many people are in the Activision Call of Duty DMs about how dare you ban this child, you heartless pieces of crap. Like
now they're like, oh
yeah, maybe it was not a real, like, I think for me, the thing that's especially like, first off, like they're trying to, is that who you want to emulate? Is that who you're trying to follow? Is the like, faking, there's like been a couple of these, like I think it's a particular like trend on YouTube of like doing terrible prank videos, like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, call my boyfriend and tell him I just got beat up, and that's the prank. I'm like, how is that a prank? That's you just being an asshole. And like, it's just like that, no parent should ever have their child look up to those people.
Yeah,
like that's not, it's just, there's so many better, like if you have a kid who has a promising like affinity for games, you can, okay, like let's get him in some tournaments and play in that, or like if he wants to whatever. Like I feel like at first he was definitely like too young to stream because that's just like a, you don't have the social maturity yet to understand how to deal with like marketing yourself to the masses and dealing with people hiding behind anonymity. There's so many like nuances
what does it do to your image for the rest of your life when you have hours and hours of content of you as an 8-year-old kind of, you know, being in this not a great community, playing in, you know, a very mature rated game with there's so much to it. There's a reason that Twitch says you got to be 13 to stream. There's a reason that the game developers say you need to be a certain age to play the games. Like, I don't want to tell people how to live their lives. I don't have an issue with an 8-year-old playing Call of Duty, but when it feels like, you know, the parents are kind of pushing him towards that way, and this is what he wants for his life. He wants to be a content creator for the FaZe Clan. It's like, yeah, but he's also 8 years old. When I was 18 years old, I wanted to fly.
I want to be a basketball player. My parents are going to be like, all right, let's get him in the NBA games. Like, no. It put me in a JV, like a kiddie league to play with a bunch of other kids my own age. And, like, they're not going to, like, tweet at LeBron and be like, yo, check out my kid. He's, like, pretty good. Like, who? Like, it's just, I don't know. It seems so. And, like, the parents have ruined. Like, the parents have, like, ruined it for the kid, too. Like, they, because of decisions that they have made. And at that point, like, even if it's his idea, it's still their decision in the end, like, whether or not to do that. They are the ones to blame for this. So you can't, like, oh, it's his idea. Like, no, you are the parent. They are not at, you know, they are not their own free to do whatever person yet.
The mom on the end of that video, it's a very fascinating video. Like, it's a very fascinating look into the human psyche of someone who just wants stardom so bad. In
the Paget mom psyche,
it's Paget Moms, whatever that show was. It's Honey Boo Boo
for the sports dads. Yep, same thing.
This is 100%. And if you say it's not, like, you're kind of living in a fantasy land. Like, it's Honey Boo Boo for esports is what we have shaping in front of us.
There's the episode title right there.
We may not see it now. You know, I hope he becomes well adjusted. I hope he, you know, can maybe pull a career out of this and do it in his own terms. But, like, when you watch that video towards the end where the parents are, like, giving their heartfelt messaging, the mom's kind of big thing is the world. People keep telling us the world's not ready for gamers that are 8 years old like this to be on this. And I think that's for a reason. It's not that no one thought about having an 8-year-old, you know, gamer out there. I think it's just because it's really not a healthy thing. It's not a good look. There's
get a work permit until you're 15, and your grades have to be good to even get that. At least in California. Like,
talk to any of the streamers who've made it to the superstar level that I'm sure this kid is attaining to be, the Tfues, the, you know, everybody out there. They fucking hate the game they play. Like, they, a lot of times when you get the realness out of them, you see that it's a grind. Like, Ninja was pretty blunt about it at times too, on the requirements, the physical requirements, the amount, you can't take days off because your subs go away, you know, and there's a lot of mental game and a lot of competition, and it's not, you can't really just do it for fun like that. Like, the kid really, it's not right.
So. Especially too, because it's such a glorified thing as well. Like, that's the new, like, star of, like, who do kids envy and want to be. It's like the social media creators, the social content creators. Like, those are the ones that, like, kids will glorify and think, okay, well, that's the movie star, that's the pro athlete, and they don't understand the ridiculous amount of time that it sucks away, and, like, that's your life, and you can't separate you don't turn it off, you can't, like, leave that alone ever again. Like, they don't understand that the ridiculous amounts of, you know, the seedy underbelly below it all, and that's why there's a limit on age on these things, is to, like, not let kids get trapped into the illusion of this is the dream without knowing the true depth of it.
Well, I'm curious also, it kind of seems like FaZe Clan is separating themselves a little bit. Like, they didn't dive headfirst and jump into this. They're at the final 20. I don't think they've announced, like, another cut. Anybody in here think that Rowdy Rogan is going to make it, or do you think FaZe is going to cut the ripcord? Skip, you're making scissor hands. You think FaZe is going to separate?
Skip says snip.
Snip. What about you, Lexi? If you're FaZe Clan, they kind of make their bed on off of the spectacle and a lot of the controversy, though. Do you think that they're going to make a line in the sand and part ways with Rowdy Rogan, or do you think they're going to push him further into the face contest?
I don't think so. I mean, if they do, that'll be kind of weird. I don't think so.
Well, this will be trying time. I mean, this will be telling. We'll see what happens with this one. We'll carry on a little bit further with this one, maybe through some updates. But very interesting stuff you can kind of see in the gaming industry sometimes. So here we go. Next story is, let's get to some positive stuff, man, because that was a downer. Movies. Let's talk about some movies. Warner Brothers is planning on releasing its entire 2021 slate of films on HBO Max at the same time they hit theaters, including some big hitters like Dune, Matrix 4, Mortal Kombat, Godzilla vs. Kong, The Suicide Squad, Tom and Jerry, and many, many more. That's a huge step to see someone go through. And especially when we got the juggernauts like Disney. Disney got Disney Plus over there. I thought they would have done this with their Black Widow movie, but HBO is going to have the new Wonder Woman movie, day one, Christmas Day, Wonder Woman, the 1984 version up there. That's craziness. What do you guys think? Are we seeing some winds of change for forever?
I think
Bro,
that,
I hope so.
I think that I think it's a brilliant idea for what they're doing. But would Disney do it? I don't know. I mean, they tried with the Disney Premium, but I don't know how their numbers looked on that with Mulan. So I think that might be why they held Black Widow, because they know something we don't know, kind of thing. Like, you don't think, like, I don't know if they thought that they would get more sales, like upsells from Disney Plus by doing Mulan. And so I don't know what their thinking is for that. But for HBO, I could see it being a thing and like them sticking with it. I was kind of thinking like, oh, okay, so like what about streaming though? Like I could give my password to you or blah, blah, blah. But I think like all the streaming services now kind of have a rhythm like, okay, like can only stream on two TV or whatever the case is. So I don't think that's a problem. I just think it's the big move for them. So that might make sense, but I don't know. As far as like Disney Plus, I don't know if it like, if they would do the same thing, because they specifically said like, that they wanted to have their movies in theaters. But I mean, with the landscape of everything now, it's like, will you, I mean, you're going to wait how long for Black Widow? Like, you know, and then all these other titles that they've already said that are coming out in 2021. Like, I think they pushed, I think their latest movie is like October, November or something like that. But still, it's like, are theaters going to be open? Are theaters going to be a thing? Like a lot of theaters are thinking about the closure, so who knows? I mean,
Skip,
I think it's a good step for HBO to try, and I think it's good for them.
I think it's great for us. I think for the consumers, this is fantastic news. But there's people who aren't so happy about it. Hollywood directors,
I don't have HBO. Like, I don't have HBO. I have like Hulu and Amazon Prime and like Disney Plus and like.
Now you got to get HBO.
One more.
Yeah, like I'm like debating, like, is it going to be enough for me to, you know, so I think it's like a good ploy to get to see how many people get it and how many people will watch these movies. But are they going to unsubscribe like after they, you know, it's that kind of.
Hollywood directors are considering boycotting Warner Brothers due to this release strategy. Following the news that Warner Brothers will release their 2021 movies on HBO Max in theaters and simultaneously, many directors are less than pleased. Skip, why would that be? If more people are going to see your movie, why do you care whether it's on the big screen or the silver screen?
Money.
Is there more money for them, you think?
You can sell it twice. You can get paid for it twice, three times, yeah.
Well, no, it's the opposite though. Like no, it's extremely rare that VOD sales are anywhere close to what you get from theater sales. And even the different deals that you would do or whatever, like after the fact for streaming services and like that, it's extremely rare that any of that money ever adds up, especially for like the bigger the budget, the movie. So if you take something like Denis Villeneuve doing Dune, which, you know, had $100 million, you know, plus budget possibly in the $200 million range, as some of these, like, you know, Marvel movies and larger WB movies and whatnot get. You don't get anything close to that when you go VOD or when you go streaming. And then, you know, I mean, there was a famous quote from Christopher Nolan where he said, you know, a lot of filmmakers, I'm paraphrasing, he said a lot of filmmakers went to sleep thinking that they were working for one of the best movie studios and woke up realizing they're working for one of the worst streaming services. Oh, like, wow. HBO Max has been getting bashed because of their initial rollout, which we talked about, which was really weak and lame. And then also their numbers, not being able to convert a lot of people over into sales, customers. They also had the confusion of the pre-existing customers. Does my HBO Go still work? Does my HBO Now roll over? HBO Max is more money. Like, how do I even get myself to that plan? And then what do I get all within that plan? Also, the amount of content that they initially had when they first rolled out wasn't all that great and also wasn't all that sought after. But then I know your question, Corey. Well, because you even mentioned it. Well, you know, that's really great for the customer. Is it really? It's convenient for the customer. And I think for the times that we live in, considering coronavirus is safer for the customer. But again, go back to those larger budget movies. If all the movie studios and all the financiers and the banks, because most of them take out loans to do these movies. That's just the nature of the business. They've got the money in the bank, but, you know, they use OPP, right? They use other people's profits. They use other people's money in order to, and then what they make back from it, then they split out all their money and all that stuff. Well, if you're putting these big budget movies that you've made and then you put them on these streaming services, especially ones that you own, and you're not converting as many people, you got a lot of churn, which is, you know, people doing the trial services and not staying over after, they just churn and churn out. Then you just lost a bunch of money on that stuff. And, you know, and yeah, movie theaters and everything, they're not owned by these studios. They're not owned by these companies, and they are affected, and that does suck. And there's something to be said about that. That's almost a separate conversation. But ultimately, if they're not making as many movies, then they can't be confident in putting as much money into budgets, which ultimately you don't get as good of people doing it. You don't get as good as CGI. You may not get as good of writers. You piss off the Actors Guild and you're got them boycotting you. So you can't get Christopher Nolan back on your movie. You can't get Denis Villeneuve back on your movie. You possible other guilds striking too. Ultimately, it comes back to us in a sense that WB is now a weaker studio, and some of the movies that we did like that they did away from even the comic book movies, we get worse versions of those for maybe 2-3 years because they didn't want to defer. And then not to mention how bad it was that they only let Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot know of those deals and all the rest of them. Everybody else found out in the news. Christopher Nolan found out in the news. Didn't even Villeneuve found out in the news. One of the most important studios that we get really good movies from, that we do eventually get on streaming services, just made themselves a lot weaker. Ultimately, that means weaker movies for us.
I think the note of HBO was a huge one too. Like, it is definitively, like, I have not used it since I think the end of Game of Thrones. Because that was the only reason I went to that. But like HBO Now or Go or whatever, like, they first off, like, they keep renaming it and changing it. Like, y'all just stick with the thing and move it and evolve it. Like, what do you stop that?
That was so confusing.
But like, also, it was definitively the most fresh. I remember in college specifically a couple years back, I'd have to watch it on Safari because it didn't work on Google Chrome for some stupid reason. Like, there was just so many stupid little reasons why it didn't work. And like, they're just so behind Hulu, Amazon, and Netflix right now. Like, that would be the only reason. But I think I do find it fascinating how movie theaters have been around for this long, is because like, imagine not being able to play The Last of Us for a year, you know, after its release, but you'd have to go to the arcade to play it. Which is like, that's kind of the similar thing. It's like, why haven't, like, they have stayed in business for so long because of the, you know, exclusivity thing. Like, you can't own this at home. You have to wait until it's out in streaming, you know, after 8 months, 6 months, whatever. But like, you know, the home gaming industry put arcades out of business way quicker, and like, theaters have been able to stay around. I'm not a huge fan of theaters. I hate going to the theaters. I spent money to get a home theater set up so I don't have to go sit with obnoxious, smelly people, not get a good seat, have a sore neck. Like, let me just watch it at home on my own crap. And if I want to pause it, I can. If I want to shoot the shit to my wife the whole time and say, like, God, this movie sucks, but let's just talk crap about it, I can. I hate the theaters, and I'm so glad that, like, they're starting to see better alternatives. But, like, also, can we find something other than freaking HBO?
That's where I was hoping to kind of go, where what Skip was bringing up all super, like, makes sense, totally. But we, at what point do we hold up progress? And I do feel like moving to the home subscription models for stuff is better than our current system of the movies. I think the movies is kind of like going to the movies, movie theaters is kind of like a bloated experience at this point. I think there's way too many of them, and way too many movies are getting huge budgets to be in these that are losing. Like, when you go to the movie theater, they've got like 20 different rooms, half of which are playing movies anybody really wants to see. Like, so many are empty through many parts of the day. And I feel like it's just become a stagnant, like, kind of archaic thing we were doing. Then you got some places that are raising the bar, making less chairs, more comfortable chairs, serving you food, like making them experiences. Those are awesome. And I would still love to go see these movies on those type of experiences, because the businesses are making it more uncomfortable. They're making it premium. They're making it feel big, because yeah, if you get a chance to watch, you know, the new Star Wars in a theater and at home, like, you're selling yourself short if you're just going to watch it at home. Like, of course you go see it at a theater. But to hold up some of these movies that we were talking about, Dune, I'm sure, Matrix 4, Godzilla vs. Kong, like, these are pretty big time movies.
Those are spectacles. These are spectacles. Those are movies that are literally, that's why they call them cinema. They're literally made for the cinematic experience. And, you know, like, progress isn't exclusive to one side of the coin. Progress can happen twofold. I mean, if you go back and then you look at what Disney announced right after watching HBO fumble, they're doing a twofold thing. They're still releasing their movies in theaters because the numbers don't lie. Even we're older and we don't like to go as much, but you forget about all those kids that go on their dates or go out with their friends to those movies. And it's the parents that spend them that money. And the reason why theaters are still around is because those bigger studios, even those really small Blumhouse horror films that they only spend $5 million, $7 million to make, they still make them tons of profit in the movie theaters. That the numbers are why, you know, these companies are still doing it. So you take more of a twofold approach like Disney. You roll out all these shows, Loki and Winter Soldier and all that stuff, and Miss Marvel and all that stuff. You roll out those for your streaming services that have cameos and characters and stuff like that from people you love and still, like, you know, good producers, while you also still release, you know, a number of your films in there. So you take a twofold approach. I agree. You want progress, and I'm down for convenience and all that stuff. I like the idea of streaming services and whatnot, but you can't let one side fall off into the ocean, or because when it falls off into the ocean, you can let it fall. But if you push it off into the ocean, you're kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah.
This is the thing though, with the Disney model, like, for example, like you said, like Loki and even Mandalorian, like quality. The first time I saw Mandalorian, I was like, this is a movie. The first episode, I was like, this is movie production and a TV show. This is what people dreamed of, you know? And that was like the first show that I've seen like that, other than The Expanse on Amazon Prime, but that's another discussion, which is also movie like quality. So when I saw that, I was like, this is the future. Like, you could sit at home and have these snippets, even if they did a part one or part two of a movie that's this quality. Okay, it might take you a little longer to produce, or maybe shorter. I don't know the time frame with everything, but like, for them to produce Mandalorian like they did in that type of quality, that is movie quality, to make it this like segmented TV show on Disney Plus, like, yeah, I'll stay home and watch movies. But right. To Corey's point, I would love the experience of having like one of those cool, like, movie experience, like limited edition or limited time, like at the XYZ theaters. Like, I could see that being the future, where it's like, you don't have as many theaters and things like that. Even bringing back like drive-throughs. Like, I've never been to a drive-through, but I would love to go for the experience aspect of it. So I could see that too. But like, the future is being at home and seeing these things. And I could see them rolling out like part one of the movie or part two, or even doing like, okay, this is the drop of Dune example on this date. And it's going to be on on HBO streaming service, like for premium members to watch. Everybody can watch at the same time, you know, that kind of thing. I could see that being a thing too for the future, but
we will.
And then you're like buying a ticket to your movie at home live at this time, you know.
We will see where the future of cinema goes, and especially with this. I mean, backsliding on everything I had just said, you know, to my counterpoint. I don't even pay for HBO Max. I have a relative, you know, who gives me a password kind of thing too. So it's easy for me to say from where I'm sitting on my freemium account, but you know, I don't know if I would drop the money for all these movies still. So I could kind of see both sides of the coin with my own flaws. But last news story, Twitch is coming after our civil liberties, everybody. They're trying to take more words out of the lexicon of Twitch. This is an interesting conflict we're in because we are a news show for video games and geek culture who operates primarily on RSS feeds like Spotify or iTunes and all that. But we also happen to co-stream live on Twitch to get, you know, kind of reactions and hang out with people. So this will be a hard one to cover, but we're just going to use it because we're not insulting anybody. So when you hear these words, don't feel sad. If I feel like we've
talking to you.
Yeah, we're not calling you this. We're not trying to invade your personal bubble. We're just saying the words as they are. But there have been three no-no words added to the Twitch lexicon that are now bannable offenses if you're caught using them in an offensive or attacking manner, which we are not 100%. Just like to clarify. So the words are incel, virgin, and simp. All words that we've used on this show, you know, in the past to describe situations and stories. The bathwater stories, for example, that we would go over. Like, there has been simp culture if you are on Twitter. Usually, simping is seen as like, I guess when you, I don't know, how do you explain a simp?
I feel like it's only slightly different from like a stan almost. Like, you're just like really behind someone and really supporting someone. You really like someone. Like, you can use it generally. It's like a guy following like a girl streamer. Oh, he's just simping for her, whatever. Like, I'm like, yo, like I prefer it like just being a fan of a thing. Like, yo, I'm a simp for like mental health, you know? I'm a simp for great work life balance.
I feel like at the end of the day, because this is how our world is, somebody because we can't use that word, or you know, like people can't use that word, they're gonna make another word. Like at the end of the day, you know, it's inevitable. It's gonna happen. Like they're just gonna make a new word, gonna keep that word and say, like, "Oh, word this."
I was
like,
simp wasn't by, even the first know. Word of its sort to begin with. I mean, I remember not too long ago, it was called tricking.
Tricking.
I mean, we heard, it was tricking. You tricking. I mean, essentially, it's supporting. Right? It's being in the support of something or someone. To the point, to the detriment of your own health in some way or your own integrity.
Like Stan.
That's essentially what it is.
I'm surprised they didn't ban Stan because that's a really popular, you know, word / insult these days. I'd say equal with, you know, incels kind of, let's kind of break them down. Simp, I always thought was like a fun word. I never looked at simp or I've been called a simp online. I've called other people simps. I just thought it was like a fun, funny word to call someone. But apparently, you know, they took it to that next level. The other one was incel, which I think people did overuse a lot. Like, incels are real people, right? That's like a real thing. Like those people.
Yeah, that's a dark, dark portion of the internet.
Yeah. So
it's like, or do you want to go on it or?
He's like, cause I can go all day, baby. I know a lot about incels. No, please, like in the layman's term for everybody, explain like what an incel, I guess, would be considered.
I think
like a real
this
one.
Is the one that's like it had been drawn out of proportion so much. So like it, from my understanding, like the core group are people who are often unsuccessful. It's almost always men who are unsuccessful with women and turn that into a hateful thing and blame women for their lack of success or whatever. And so generally speaking, that there's a lot of like sexism and misogyny and all that stuff involved with it. And so then that kind of spiraled out. So whenever, you know, some guy was remotely, you know, unsuccessful, then you would call him an incel, or if they, you know, are being overly whatever, you that's the go-to kind of thing to do, because it's kind of like the synonym for like kind of the weird, slimy, most neckbeardy kind of particular type of like,
we all know one. I'm sure we all know.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. The, you know, your 4chan kind of red pill or whatever, like that's kind of where that comes from.
I've never heard anybody say that. I've heard people say the other two, like, and I stand, or
I,
the simp.
Well,
I've never heard
of
those.
Incel, the actual, I forget the term of it, but it's a compound word that's been abbreviated, and there's a word for that, but it's involuntarily celibate.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. So you take that connotation, you kind of break it on down, and then obviously there's, you know, oh, well, you're involuntarily celibate because, and then under that is an umbrella of, you know, negative personality traits that would lead someone to, you know, to be in such a state or have such a status. And then from there, then, yeah, all of the other things that Kyle talked about, you know, kind of got piled on top of it. And yeah, primarily as negative connotations, like simp.
It does feel weird to me that they are all kind of three involved in the same thing, despite, like, I always felt like simp was like not particularly harmful. Like, it didn't, like, obviously people used it harmfully, but like the word by itself was kind of just like didn't inherently, you know, like it wasn't always used in not good ways or whatever. I thought like
most of the
maybe
time
that's just my Twitter verse that doesn't care about it, but,
same, you know. Yeah, maybe it's the difference between Twitch and Twitter, but like on Twitter most people would refer to themselves as simps, like, oh, I'm simping for this person's.
Yeah, exactly.
I always thought it was like.
I mean, that doesn't have negative connotations.
Yeah,
so
true.
It emerges out of sex work culture. You know, like I said, like Trick. They would say, you know, a prostitute, male prostitute, female prostitute. Like, you know, how many Johns you served today? You know, how many tricks did you turn today? You know, is what they would say. And simp has been around way longer than its explosion in the last few years. Even simp, herb. I heard those words growing up when I was like 6 and 7.
Oh, wow.
It's not new. Yeah. So that's the culture that it originates from. So hence, you know, the additional negative connotations.
Man, simping ain't easy in 2020.
There is another word that Twitch was very adamant about talking about on their Twitter page.
Oh, hold on. this got to be interesting. Please enlighten.
So, I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was today. Yeah, it was today at 9 a.m. Twitch put out a tweet that is still on their Twitch page that says, "We've had questions about the use of the N-word on Twitch." And then they go on to say, "Use with a hard R," and they capitalize the R, "is not allowed, period. We are also automatically blocking the word across Twitch, including in chat." So now, my thing about this is the fact that they just put it out there on Twitter like that. Like, was anybody, like, really thinking about it? Like, I feel like as a corporation, like, as Twitch.
Oh, it's
like,
such a, like, hey, look at us. We did it. We did a good thing. Look at it. We don't like the racism thing. Like,
this is my thing.
Okay, good for you.
Be doing this? Like, why are you putting attention to it? It's my thing. Like,
we've had questions recently about people kicking puppies. We just want to say we do not allow kicking puppies on Twitch, everybody. So we're not that kind of streaming service. Take that to YouTube. Like, that seems like, yeah, duh. You don't have to respond to every question you get.
Exactly. I was scrolling through my Twitter, you know, casually looking at tweets this morning and saw that. And I was just like, I would hope that y'all been doing that.
Yeah, like, what year is 2020? And y'all are like, oh, you should probably ban that word, huh?
I would hope that y'all been doing that. But, like, I wasn't questioning that they were doing it because I trusted that they already were. Right. So I was like, now y'all bringing attention to it. And now everybody's questioning, like, have y'all been? Like,
so you didn't before, now is what you're trying to tell us.
Like, and then you have to say with the hard R. What does that mean? So I'm not going to get into this. Skip, what do you think? Because I have some opinion with the hard R. Like, that just threw me for a loop because there's other things. But I'll ask Skip your opinion.
For sure. For me, this is an easy one. I'm one of those people that, like, I don't believe in a good use of the word. I don't believe there's a such thing. But, like, you know, not in my opinion. And I've been around and I used to think differently. I really want the word to go away. Like, you know, like any racist or sexist or, you know, any kind of negative word. You know, I want it gone. I think the world better the day that that word disappears. And it doesn't seem like it ever will, unfortunately. You know, from both people that are and aren't racist, you know, people that like to use the word for a term of endearment and whatnot. But for every person that does, for people that are very adamant about it, I heard them use the word in the same exact way of how it not originated, because we all know that it comes from a place and a people that were close to that river over in Africa, but how it got turned into during the whole slave trade era. And then what it started out there, which is where most Americanized, Westernized Black people think of their origin, unfortunately. But from there, it kind of, that's its origin for our modern day. And then we know what it's been turned to since then. But in no way does it serve as anything overtly positive to me. There's just not enough weight on that side of the scale for it. I'd like to see it go away. So to me, it's really easy. Like, ban the hard R, ban the soft R, ban the A, ban the Y, you know, get them all out of here. I mean, you know, yeah, I'd rather see that word and just about any other, you know, negative racist word or this word or that word or whatever, just be gone. You know what I mean? So for me, it's a really easy answer.
I thought they had been doing this, like, already banned all this stuff. But so in my games, because, you know, I play a lot of League, when I play that, like, a lot of people are like, ma, and this, and I'm like, hold up, you know, like, you know, because they don't know I'm Black on the other side of the screen. I'm just like, so, you know, like, I know the earth, I'm going to say the earth, the world can't, like, just snap your fingers and it's gone, you know, like, because you're still going to have those people in your chats and stuff randomly saying it because that's just how those people are. But as a company, I already thought they were doing this. So it just made me confused when I saw it on my timeline. Like, I was like, is this a thing?
Is this it's like time and like, time and a place. They were
banning chats and stuff. I would assume that they wouldn't let anyone say it on stream. Right. So I was just like, why are y'all bringing it back up? Like, right now, like, it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, 9 a.m. on a Saturday right before Christmas, they decided we got a couple messages about the N-word, and just to let you know, we don't like it.
Yeah.
Just like, I feel like you know, now you know. Like, I'm just like, right. I enjoy my day, sip my tea, and then y'all make me sip my tea and roll my eyes. Like, what?
On Twitch main, too. Don't they have, like, other accounts they can put this stuff on?
Right.
If you're really feeling motivated to let everyone know how not racist you are.
This is what got me. They proceeded like a thread. And in the thread, it was like, regardless of spelling and pronunciation, slurs she used for the purpose of hate or harassment are not allowed, which we already know. Then they went under that and was like, we have a creator camp dedicated to this to answer questions, blah, 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 and all the policies. And I was just like, but y'all had to put it on this tweet. Like, we already know this about this word. Like, you don't have to, like, if anything, they should have put all that on their release of these other words that they did. And then just, okay. But y'all had to throw it out there. And you know, people on Twitter are probably like, saying the word in the, I haven't even read the comment, you know.
Yeah, I feel like by doing it louder, they're now making it more of a scene to where I would imagine
want to do it,
it does not just go away as easy now. Like you're now going, okay, now people are going to try harder because now they're fighting against the system of Twitch. Okay, like how many cues can I put in instead to try to hide it? Do I put the spaces like people did on RuneScape back in the day? Like people are going to always find ways to like, if you make it a spectacle, it turns into a spectacle. Like people are going to, I would love to know the stats behind it. Like I'm pretty sure it's going to go
They have a ticker in the office. Yeah. This is N-word usage and it's just going through the roof after
it's
that.
It's going up, dude.
Well, if you look at the top comments on that thread that Lexi is talking about, the number one upvoted reply was simp virgin incel. 1,000 upvotes. Yeah. The other one is also apparently now they equate the N-word the same as simp virgin and incel. Like, it's just the timing of everything.
Yeah.
That's my thing, too. Because, first of all, it is not in the same category. I mean, this is my thing. The N-word is racist. Like, you know, everyone knows this. These other words are more of a harmful, like, if I say it to somebody. Like, so is that. But I'm saying, like, these were like, oh, we made these words up because we're playing or whatever. This word has been around for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, and everybody's been trying to, like, erase it and still erasing it to this day. So there's two different categories of these words. None are good, right? So, like, but you didn't have to just bring that one up, like, so, out of the blue. I just don't get it.
Just kind of to wrap, put a wrap on this one. The third word, so they banned incel, simp, and the last one, which was most perplexing to me, is virgin, because that's just like, that's been around since the beginning of time. You always call your friends virgins, even when, you know, when you're eight, you're all virgins, but you're just calling each other virgins because it's funny. Like, virgin is a thing. It's a state of being. It's a way of life. Some people, I don't understand banning the word virgin. Like, come on, man.
I can see why they banned that. The only reason I can see it is you have. Wait. Just
the Virgin Mary. You banned the word virgin during Christmas. What is wrong with you? Of all the time, this is the most celebrated virgin to ever virgin. And you just oppressed.
Okay, this is what I can think of why, from like the business aspect. They banned it probably because of teenagers calling out their friends who just made their Twitch channel. I'm new on Twitch. I'm doing my stuff. And then all of a sudden, I get a horde of like eighth graders coming in here. Oh, you're virgin. And I'm just like, it's hurtful because it's like, I'm in eighth grade. First of all, you shouldn't be doing that. Disclaimer. second of all, they're just teasing because you know how kids tease when you're in smaller grades and high school, whatever. You're like, oh, you're still a virgin, blah, blah, blah. So that's probably why they banned the word from their perspective, because they probably had people
do
that.
You gotta start banning everything. You gotta start banning poo head, fart head, fart face, ugly.
They haven't got to the kindergarten level yet. So
they're working their way down real fast.
Yeah, working their way back, yeah.
So what do we call her? We can't call her the Virgin Mary no more on Twitch stream. We got to come up with another thing.
Mother Mary.
Anyway, so let's get down to the whole bottom of this whole thing. Twitch could ban as many words as they want and put them on the naughty list, but does this actually make a difference, Skip? Are they actually making progress by throwing these three words on their no-no list?
I don't know.
It's hard to say without seeing the results of it. But I mean, you know, to points that we've already brought up, you know, for every version of something negative that you ban, here comes someone else creating a new version of it. So it's going to be a bit of a revolving door, or at least a never-ending process. I don't want to fault them for trying, because in so many other instances, we see other companies, you know, in the tech field, things happen and maybe they're a little slow to respond or don't respond at all. I'm not a fan of them also pointing a spotlight to how good and whatnot and maybe how much better and everything they are than everybody else, you know, for doing this move. But at the end of the day, they're trying to do a positive thing, and I think we'll really have to wait and see, you know, what the results of it is. But I will say this: by banning those words, it also doesn't, I don't believe it takes away from the experience of Twitch either. So I'll say that.
Yeah. I think genuinely there are a lot of communities out there. Like, this is a podcast, you know, and this is a Twitch stream for mid to late 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, maybe upwards of that. If you're younger and you are sitting through this podcast each week, like, man, you are a mature person, because, you know, we're older folks. We talk about things retrospectively and through the history of time.
Deeply intellectual conversations. Very. Not for the...
Yeah, this is not for, you know, virgins, for sure.
College educated, at least, you know, like...
This, so like when there's a lot of other streams that aren't like this, like they're just nuts, you know, and that they're crazy. They're pounding Monster energy drinks at midnight, you know, and calling each other simp and laughing and having a great. So there's a whole, and I would say that's most of Twitch. Like, we're a very acquired taste for this website. Most of it is those people. So that's why there's this huge adverse reaction, and they feel like something's being taken from them, because I believe many of them using these words, probably in their heart of hearts, I would say, aren't using them to destroy someone's life. You know, I think those cases are out there, but then they're using tons of words. They're not just using simp and virgin, you know? So I don't know how I feel about ban. I don't know if banning is really going to make a huge thing besides, you know, kind of glorifying or making it even worse now. So now when people say it, it's going to be kind of a weak thing. And then to Skip's point, if someone wants to get that message across, they're going to, whether they use those words or not, whether it's private or on another platform. So we'll follow this one. We'll keep it up. We'll see what continues. There's a lot of unrest from a lot of different types of people out there too, like across the Twitter feed. That was kind of surprising, from people far left content creators to far right content creators, you know, which is kind of impressive that Twitch continues to piss off both sides of
absolutely
the aisle.
Absolutely everyone.
Evenly. Yeah. So credit to them for just making everybody mad. But thanks for listening to the show. If you have not already, we are doing a giveaway with our friends at Insert Coin across the pond. They are going to be giving away one of their really flashy jackets. They make just really cool clothes, and they partnered with us to do this giveaway. So if you want to do that, you can go to our Twitch page, go to the tweet that we have pinned on there, follow the link, and enter to win yourself that. We were also giving away a copy of Cyberpunk, but I think if you win, if Sony is doing refunds, you're going to have to owe us money, I think. So I don't know how that's going to work out, but if you win, you pay us for a copy of Cyberpunk. And no, actually, what I was thinking about doing, honestly, because the game is so broken, we'll just let you pick a game. Whatever game is on the market for your platform, the base version, we're not dropping no $100 on you. Don't get it twisted.
Collector's edition.
Yeah, no collector's edition.
Extra stand. And
if you win, you get to pick whatever game you want. So I know it says Cyberpunk on there.
Actually, I'll throw in something. I'll throw in an ultimate edition of Borderlands
3. Hey, let's go. Lexi, using those 2K connections. She's like, I will give you Shooter McGavin's Putting Pro 2021.
So a game of your choice, and I'll throw in an ultimate edition of...
Let's go. Raising the bar on video game bang. Skip.
Make sure to share with your friends.
Skip, what you promoting, man?
Right now I'm promoting positivity, and I'm promoting people, you know, hanging tight and staying safe, especially around the holiday season. You know, we got Christmas coming up and everything, and I don't think there's a better gift that you can have on the other end of it than your health. So that way you can turn around and next year do it again with everybody that you love. So everybody, you know, just do your best to keep staying safe. You know, hang tight, hold fast.
2021's gonna be the best year ever.
Corey said that, not me. that's all.
Lexi, I mean, you got some time off, some time to reflect, enjoy the holidays. Do you have anything you want to shoot out there?
Yeah, I just said yeah. Like, I'm a gangster or something. I'm trying to get it together, guys. Like, literally, it's like Corey said, I've been like working hard, so I've been pretty tired, but I'm gonna try to stream some while I have my time off for sure. So make sure to follow me on Twitch. It's xbasementtx. Hopefully getting some games. I know like a new season of League coming up in January, so I'll do that. I want to try to play some other games at some point too, like on stream, because I do play other games. Yeah. And if you play Among Us, please hit me up, because I play Among Us on my phone, but I have no friends to play with. So hit me up. And my Twitter is LexiJPR. So yeah.
Kyle, the winner. What do you got?
I'm promoting positivity and take care of yourself.
Skip already did that. Two people can't promote positivity. Sorry.
We've reached our quota. Cut it off. Yep.
Two. Oh, what about those Butterfingers? I'm going to buy some.
Oh, yeah, Butterfingers. Oh,
yeah, Butterfingers, yep.
They make a great Christmas gift.
Can we get that? I still haven't gotten that email yet. I'm still waiting on that email. Wait on that check.
We should get some royalties or something. I guess if I'm promoting anything, it's nothing that I own, but man, the Epic Game Store is doing like 15 days of free games every single day from the 15th to 4th. So if you've missed a few, like, you're out of luck, but you should be logging in every day and grabbing those free games, especially today, which when we publish this, it might be too late, but sorry. The game is The Long Dark, which means so much to me because our first like big boy game director interview was Raph Van Lierop, who was the head director promoting The Long Dark on our show like 4 years ago or whenever that was. So full circle, you can get your free copy of The Long Dark. You can go back and listen to that episode if you want to know more about it. It was like the very first one we ever did with Nerd Reactor. So I think we had Janice Davis, Nika Harper, like some really awesome people were on that episode. So check it out and get the free game. They've already had some crazy ones, like Skylines was on there, this awesome game from Obsidian called Tyranny that I've been trying out and has been really fun. So get some free games. It's gifts that keeps on giving, everybody. They're free. You get the license, you have them forever. And you don't have to download them. So I hear people, I don't have room on my hard drive. No, it's not how it works. You
add that to the library.
Yeah, just add it to your library, baby. That's it though, and have fun. Be nice to each other. Don't get the Rona. Be responsible for these holidays. Don't go to no super spreader events. We want to see you happy and healthy, because 2021, like, you don't want to die at the end of 2020 or the very, very beginning of the best year of all time. You want to just be there for it, because I'm telling you, there's going to be no better year than 2021. Yep. Right here.
Set it up. Unbelievable expectations.
100%. Let's go, 2021. For Lexi, for Skip, for Kyle, the winner, my name is Corey Tsang. You've just been banged.